On Edge with April Mahoney Brains. You are at the spot,
you.
The place, the location where the conversations are pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. We're in New York.
Hello, Brains.
Hey. We are with Annell Taylor. Well, I call you Taylor. I did right. Annell Taylor.
I got it. That's me.
Both of us are jacked up like soup sandwiches. I got a back spasm and she just cut her finger, Brain. So you know what? Stuff happens, but that's not going to deter us or distract us from what we're about to put down. We're going to talk about healthcare workers and a healing circle. I've had resilience coaches. I've had surgical coaches. I've had disgruntled health workers. It's not easy in the healthcare industry, especially after how they got disrespected during COVID. I'm telling you, I would have grabbed my smock and left. But they hung in there with us to help us. And they're still hanging in there with us. And things in some places haven't gotten any better. So we need to heal. They need to heal. We need to be supportive. We need to have that conversation. But also, she's got something brewing. Bitches brewing.
Well, the overarching idea is called circle alchemy, but yes, we hail to the bitches.
Okay, and look what my daughter bought me, a damn wand. Is this gorgeous or what? But I'm like, this is not my wheelhouse, but I said, well, I'm gonna bring it out because Nell's gonna come and she's gonna tell me what to do. And how to do it and how to be the baddest bitch I can be, okay? Because my neighbor ran into our car and he gonna come down the street, his father comes down the street and he comes knocking on the door and I said you know what do you need? And he goes, oh, I just wanted to come and apologize for my son. I said, okay, well, you know, that's what the police and police report is for. What you come to my house for? And then his wife goes, what is she saying? He goes, oh, she's just being a bitch. And I told him, well, you better get out of my yard before I let this bitch off the chain and she bites you.
Yeah.
But then I had my girlfriend say, girl, you are a boss bitch. So it just depends on how you use it.
And how you feel it. How you feel it. Right. How you be it. Yeah.
How you receive it. So, Brains, get it together. Annell, how do you show up in the world? And where did you come from?
Oh, I love that question. Thank you, April. Hello, Brains. Honored to be here. And really honored that April was very patient in reaching out to me in the chaotic world that this is. How do I show up in the world? Such a good question. And where am I from? So I show up as with a deep desire that we honor both and both the joy and the extreme difficulty that we go through as humans. I came to understand this as a person now living with cancer. I was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer at the age of 40 in 2018. Yeah, wow.
You pumped the brakes right there, though. I mean, you weren't considered old enough to be a chronic smoker. Were you ever a smoker?
No, not a smoker. And actually, I was a nurse. I'm a nurse practitioner. And I'd been working at that point for almost a decade. And I had not known as a healthcare provider that you could even get lung cancer if you weren't a smoker.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Was
yeah.
it genetic or it just popped up out of nowhere?
It's not genetic, but it does. So I'm not an oncology specialist, and this has all been a learning process for me as someone who provides primary care. That's what I work in, as a nurse practitioner, primary care and reproductive health care. And so when I got diagnosed with cancer, a few of things that I decided is one is that's not my specialty and someone else can take care of me. And I've also learned a lot. So there's been so many advances and specifications and specializations within cancer care. But nobody still knows what causes it. I have thoughts now as someone who lives with it and is like sat with this information. It's not genetic. And I do have family members with lung cancer. They were all smokers. So it's not, my cancer's not even related to the kind of cancer that they had.
Secondhand
Yeah.
smoke, maybe from your parents growing up in the house or
You know what I've recently been reading this book, The Biology of Belief, which I think is the best summary that explains what I've come to understand, that we all have the potential to have cancer and other chronic illnesses, and some things get turned on by environment, stress, other factors. And that's just what I've chose to understand. I know that there's a lot of complex thoughts around that, but I think that I had, this propensity within me that got turned on related to the life I was living, largely the life as a nurse practitioner who worked
Well, you
excessive
are,
overtime and other things, yeah,
but you're
that were not.
susceptible to everything. You know, it's like a school teacher. I don't know how they do it. The kids
I
come
don't
in
either.
a
I
boogie.
don't know how people
Here's
do
my
that job.
pencil or
Yes.
some of my sandwich. Here, drink from my juice. You know, it's a breeding ground of bacteria. And so I get it. And for you to be diagnosed at stage four, that was an aha moment like no other, I bet,
Indeed,
especially
it
with dealing
was.
with
Indeed,
healthcare
it
professionals.
was. Yeah. And so much came out of it. I mean, even my response to, so I couldn't breathe. That's what got me into the emergency room. And I was a healthcare provider. Again, like I had been working for almost a decade. I didn't even know, like, do I go to the emergency room or like, how do I can't, I really can't breathe. And so, I actually called work and they were like, yeah, you go to the emergency room. It just was interesting. What I realized I was asking is like, if I go to the emergency room, is someone going to know me? And like, is my symptom valid enough to even take off of work and go be
Right.
seen for this?
What's my copay?
Right. And like, do I go to the hospital where I work and like risk that someone's going to know me? And there's like this shame coming up. And then the other thing, so when I went to the emergency room and it was there that they were like, there's a huge mass in your right lung. And at the time they were like, there are many different potential causes. It might not be cancer. And I was like, that's not good. And then I got admitted to the hospital and my partner shows up and right away I went to being like, is he okay? We need to take care of others. And I now understand that what I was doing was dissociating from my body. You know, I
Oh,
was like engaging in a trauma
right. Redirection,
response.
absolutely, because it just doesn't seem real. Doesn't seem
No.
so.
And
Is
my
that
coping mechanism was to stay outside of my body and try to take care of other people's, which is heavily related to the profession I chose. Not a bad thing, but cancer has not given me the awareness of like how do we respond when trauma arises, and it comes in so many forms.
so is that was that the inspiration to create the Healing Circle?
It definitely is heavily involved in, because what then happened is, I got very sick and had to go off of take a leave of absence from work for a year. And I, for whatever reason, I feel that it's related to my sacred contract, divine timing, all that. I decided early on that medicine wasn't the only answer. I was willing to take Western medicine. I have an oncologist, all that, but I started to see there was a correlation between the life I was living as a nurse practitioner in the world of medicine, that it also contributed to how I manifest this disease. And so I started seeking healers. Like I just, it's like you open yourself up and suddenly the people that you need are there. And that's kind of what happened to me. I engaged in yoga. I engaged in diversity and equity work in this amazing organization called Beyond Diversity 101. And what I saw was people sitting in circles, like coming together and sitting in circles and healing. I saw that happening. I felt it happening in my body. So when I did return to work in 2019, then within a year, the pandemic hit. And I happened to be working in the epicenter of the epicenter in the South Bronx, New York City. And pretty soon after the pandemic hit, we were sent, I was sent home because I was considered high risk with lung cancer. We started developing ways to access patients with telemedicine. One of our coworkers died, a young, my age, in her 40s. And then George Floyd was murdered. And we It's like we were just still showing up to work. There weren't masks that we weren't. It was a collective dissociation of like serving people and also extreme fear. And I said to one of my coworkers, I've been doing this stuff. Like, I've been sitting in circles with people. I think we can do this virtually. This was before there was a huge virtual movement to hold courses and hold space. And so that's what we did. We started holding circles within our clinic setting, and the circles were powerful. And that was felt. And I saw that this could be something that could be useful on like a much more collective level to really heal the ways that we engage with the system of medicine, and the way that that represents so much about systemic oppression and harm.
Well, a lot of times people say that, cancer starts somewhere that you didn't expect. Like it could have been, cancer of the esophagus. I'm just throwing something out there. And then when it grows and develops, it takes on a life of its own because now it's in conjunction with disease. And that is where the body is, taking on trauma and metamorphosizing into so many different things. I mean, we can sit here and surmise all day long as to what happens, but the truth of the matter is that you did create a healing circle. It is working for whatever reason. If nothing else, you give somebody a glimmer of hope because everybody's not going to survive. Now we have to keep it transparent 110%. Sometimes their soul contract is up and they need to transfer over to their next journey.
Right. And so it's like about having the time that you do have here on Earth. How do you choose to spend it? And are
Exactly.
we aware of the way that systems, I found when I got diagnosed with cancer, I was like, oh my God, I was living this life that I was told was the right life. Like, be perfect, get good grades, like, be the best nurse practitioner. Don't complain about overworking because that's what you need to do to serve people. And cancer gave me pause and helped me discern where and how to use my time and to create boundaries so that I can show up with full capacity for others and live a joyful life, even amidst, I still have cancer. Like, I still sit with extreme uncertainty. And that really just mirrors the greater experience. My experience just mirrors the greater collective
And it gives you
experience.
so much empathy and compassion for your patients. It
Absolutely.
puts it on steroids because
Right. Like now,
now.
when somebody comes to me with things that I'd used to not understand at all, a disability form I didn't get with, I've applied for that now. So it's like, and I get how the system is involved in that. Like I really started to see that our individual experience is a reflection of the greater. And so when we choose to engage with that awareness, that's what the circle is us coming together and really mirroring and reflecting each other.
So, what do you come together and I mean, do you have a prayer time, meditation time, do you eat cookies? What do you do in the circle?
So the circles that we started in the clinic, now it's grown on to become this thing and a project where we have been hired by different organizations to hold healing circle sessions, really with the intention of recognizing the potential for harm within the medical system, both that we cause and sit within, and how our bodies, our individual bodies, can be spaces where we engage in the change that can then be reflected externally and within the greater collective. And it's like, there's this quote that I wrote down right before speaking with you because I didn't want to forget it. This is the Reverend Angel Kyodo Williams, and she summarizes it so beautifully. Hold on, I don't want to misrepresent her words. Okay, without interchange, there can be no outer change. Without collective change, no change matters. And I see that happening in the circle. So we're looking for individual transformation, but then we're reflecting it collectively because that's how we change systems. So yeah, the circles have a general format that really was creative, I feel like seamlessly in a collective process. But yeah, we open with a meditative process, and that's varied over time. And by the way, I do this with other facilitators. So there's other folks who support this work and bring in their own healing powers. And then we usually have a theme. We talk about things. We do this process called heart listening that I learned from Beyond Diversity 101, which is really about active listening versus listening with the idea to like fix somebody.
Exactly.
And
Well, you
it's,
know, we talk a lot of times just to hear ourselves talk. We're waiting. We
yeah,
don't know how to be silent. We're waiting for a
right.
response. You know, you just can't sit there and just go through a conversation. I've signed up to go to a silent retreat.
I
I
have a
know.
desire to do that.
But
Cool.
my girlfriend said that it will elevate your soul, you know, and you don't have to overthink it. You just don't talk.
Well, that is so the mind, it's so, I have lung cancer, and one of the things I learned was the power of this innate power of breath. Like, we just breathe. It's, you don't think about it until you have lung cancer and realize when you can't breathe how powerful it is to be able to breathe. And the mind does that. The mind thinks. It just, you
Exactly.
don't turn it off, but it's, we do have some power to engage with it, some agency, and decide, what we let those thoughts be. And I think sitting in silence, I mean, it's a challenge for many reasons, but partially
It
because
is,
you're sitting with your
especially when you're an
thoughts.
orator like me, and all you do is, you know, chop it up like a Ginsu knife. You just keep talking. But I am a good listener. You know, I am a good
I feel
listener,
that.
especially when it comes to like friendship, because I have boundaries and I will tell a friend, okay, I'm going to listen to this one, maybe two times, but every time we get together, I'm not going to hear the same story because
Yes.
you should be working through this. No, I'm not that girl. So the third date, you might want to call somebody else because it wears
Right.
on you. And so how are you able to keep yourself as a clear vessel to hold space for other individuals, considering what you're going through with your, you know, with your cancer diagnosis, working as much as you work as a nurse practitioner, holding these circles and managing the bitches. How do you do all of that and keep, you know, and hold space for yourself, a space of nothingness?
Yeah, that is such a great question. And partially what I desire for the world is like, how do you sit with uncertainty, the pressure, the responsibility? I do the things we teach folks how to do. So I like actively engage in regular retreats for myself. I have a community of space holders who listen to me. I do therapy. It comes in many forms, not just talk therapy, but I also do clarity breath work. So I do a lot of the practices. And I would say any of the practices that I'm bringing to folks is something that I'm actively engaging in, with different degrees of. And then the other thing is being very clear about how I use my time. Yeah, discerning from a place of intuition, not a place of social pressure. And that has been part of the work to differentiate what do I feel like I should do because it looks right culturally or socially, and what is my body actually telling me that I have capacity to do right now.
Absolutely. So tell us about the other group.
Yes. So we started these circles with medical folks, and again, it's like been growing, what is the word, exponentially without much effort. Like, I haven't had to like market it or anything. So I think that speaks to the power of how transformative these circles are. And what I found, is that I was seeing my own story of this, woman-bodied femme person living within the United States culture who received a lot of messages, who received a lot of conditioning that I believe to be my truth. And so I went on to like live that way. And this is not bad. I'm not like shaming anyone or even myself, but I'm just noticing kind of how I ended up to be a person who at age 40 was burnout, exhausted, and got cancer, complicated, but that is who I was, and then had pause and received some healing, And saw just the world open up. And when I mean that, I felt like fulfillment is possible even if I'm gonna die. You know, I didn't know. I didn't know how, and I still don't. The duration of the efficacy of this medication I take is unknown. So I learned to live in full joy and full acceptance of my messiness, anger, shame, all that stuff within uncertainty, which is life. And so I wanted to bring that to people who were born as women. Like that's like the I started to see like that's my peeps, you know, like
Right, that's a vibe.
and so I started to think like, well, how can I make this me? And like that's just how I talk. Like I'm like bitches. And so, but I
I
was
got
like,
you.
it's funny, haha. And then it's like actually real. Like bitch can be a term that we use to denigrate, bitch can be a term that we use to uphold. Like you said, your friend refers to you as a boss bitch. Like that is true. And then what I started to learn in my d little delving into Jungian psychology that like we hold all that within us. Like the archetype of the bitch, the messy bitch who your neighbor is like, that's in me. And then the like shining, radiant, glorious bitch is within me too. And how can I love both of her? How can I love all that within me? Because that's what's happening externally. We hate on others
Right.
when meanwhile we're having like this war internally. So it's like the idea that if I start to love all the parts of me, it will be a different external collective experience.
It will, but you're setting a different expectation from the get-go, from the giddy up. And that's what you have to do is you have to set an intention. And the expectation for yourself. You can't set expectations for other people. They will let you down, brains, newsflash. They'll let you down
Yes,
every
brains.
time because you're setting them up for something that you want them to do, that you mandate, that you require, that you trust, that you emphasize. Some people just don't have the bandwidth. Some people just don't want to do it. So what you have to do is, again, understand your intentions. Why am I going to this person? Why am I going through these changes? What am I learning from this chain of events? What have you learned? You've learned so much from a cancer diagnosis, but what am I learning from these patients? What am I learning by just listening and not talking?
Yeah, absolutely. And that all of that lives within each of us. That's like really where I'll say the circles with healthcare workers has been to heal, like so that we can heal the system and all that. And that's been a little bit slightly different activity and focus. Whereas the bitches, it's about like we're royal, we're also angry, we're also in pain. Like all of this is valid. This is the human experience. Can we embrace it all? And yes, the expectations we have on others are really just a reflection of what we're expecting from ourselves. And so when we start to play with that through the archetype of the bitch, I believe that liberation is possible. And that's what I desire, liberation.
Yeah, but you know what, too? We have to get a hold of ourselves because a lot of times women are bitches and they're very combative. They do bite. And it's not about one for all and all for one. It's competing, it's negativity, it's envy, greed. What's for you, brains, is not for me. We could go to a smorgasbord right now and everything that Annelle puts on her plate, April's not gonna put on hers, especially if it's okra. So what we
Noted.
have to do is again appreciate your sisters. When you see them out in the street and they got on some boss shoes, tell them they're pretty. Maybe nobody has told them pretty. They spend all this money and nobody's acknowledged it. When they get dressed and sharp, they don't do it for themselves, they do to be noticed. They do it for other people. Be kind. Send somebody a note. Ask your coworker, can I do this for you? Maybe bring in cookies for everybody. I'm on this
Right, random acts of kindness, like, but
random
because
acts
it's
of kindness.
fuel, it's fuel. That literally is heart fuel. Like that's been a deep realization as a person living with cancer in the midst of uncertainty. Like, don't wait to be kind. Just allow that to be what you get to serve.
As they say, give people their flowers while they're alive. I have a friend
Yes.
right now that is waiting to get a kidney transplant. And he's done, a couple favors for me, taking care of some business for me in Los Angeles. I live in San Diego. And I just happened to be on the internet and I saw this gorgeous robe. Big puffy robe. I got a monogram with his name on it. He doesn't even know it's going to show up in his door the next day or two. And in the card, I just said, I just want you to be comfortable. I want you to be warm. I want you to be, be embraced and snuggled. And hopefully this helps. When he opens that, I know how he is. He's going to be, soft as baby shit. He's just going to start crying. But it made me feel so good to want to extend myself to somebody else. That's what makes you feel good, brains, is when you are able and you have the capacity to share that. It's not just about you. It's not about you. I treat myself good too. Do you treat yourself good now?
I treat myself extra
I know.
because
There are
that's
people that
where
don't
the
do
well of capacity comes from. Like I remember this healer that I met back in 2019. I asked him, he was like, you can ask me, he's a spiritual medium. And he told me I could ask him one question. I asked him why all the women in my family were so angry. And kind of we got into this discussion, but what he pointed out to me is that they had no well, there was no space to give from. And that, in doing this work, the other thing I offer to the bitches is like, we are recorrecting what our ancestors couldn't do, what the women that came before us couldn't do. Like to fill the well, it is a privilege and it's salvation. And then you have the capacity, like you're talking about, April, to give your friend this robe because you know that that's what he needs right now. It's going to bring him such joy, but you have capacity to do that within
That's
because of
right.
all
And
that you do for
you'd be a
yourself. Yeah.
joyful giver. And if it's not sincere, don't do it, brains. Don't go
That's
along
right.
to get along. You got to do it with the right intentions. Intentions are so powerful. My mother, God bless her soul, she was never one to apologize. To say I'm sorry was beneath her. And it wasn't because she did not acknowledge a wrong that she had done, but she said those words are empty and shallow. You shoot somebody and you say, oh, I'm sorry. You embezzle, their life savings. Oh, I'm sorry. You cheat on your wife. Oh, I'm sorry. She says, no, you know what you're doing out the gate. It's the intention. So I look at people's intentions. And when someone comes to me with an apology, I listen to it very carefully to see if there is a sincerity there. Because
Yeah.
sometimes it's just filler words.
Right. Like, don't apologize if you don't mean it. I think there's
You
this
don't mean it.
deflection. That's actually a huge part of that will be a practice within the bitches to like, don't just like I have this friend who always says, "Oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry." And I actually made it a rule with me that she can't say she's sorry. Like if she does it, she, has to like buy me something.
Right.
So
Or you have to pick another choice of words. I want you to elaborate. I don't want you to say, those two words, I'm sorry. You are sorry for dot 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 what? Or the deflector when people say, well, I'm sorry that you feel. No.
Oh,
You gotta
yes.
take ownership. Okay, you gotta take ownership. I'm sorry I made you feel, or if you were in your feelings, or whatever the situation may be. But don't try to put it off on me. Because I will tell you, yes, I am in my feelings. And yes, you hurt my feelings. And yes, I don't accept your apology. That doesn't mean I don't love you and I can't, deal with you or whatever, but I know your intention and I know where you're coming from. So you have to be careful with that as well. Let's ask you some fun questions real quick because we done did
Let's
all
do
the heavy lifting.
it. We can
If
do both
you
hands.
were an appliance in the kitchen, now what appliance would you be?
Wow. If I were an appliance in the kitchen, I mean, I want to be the bread maker.
The bread, I know. I love bread too.
I love bread, even as I try to give up gluten. I just love
I
it.
love bread. It's soothing to my soul. I tell people all the time, I want to be the refrigerator because I just
To
want to
hold it all.
chill. I chill on one side and I freeze you out on the other.
Okay. That's
If you could
good.
time travel, where would you land? Past, present, future, where?
Yeah, if I could time travel, I want to go in the past. I think about the past all the time, but like the past that I don't even remember, that's not documented. And I mean the past before all the destruction happened that led to, I want to go to the past where like women ruled and we
Really?
were goddesses and we sat and combed each other's hair all day. Like, I want to go back to that time
Well, you
to
know,
then remember.
we can still do that if we
We
get
can. Yes.
the right people, because we have to stop all the isms, even among with women, sexism, classism, racism. Women can be treacherous. I know in the work environment, I was pushed up on and disrespected by more women than men.
Yeah.
And luckily, I was able to be strategic and figure out where their weak spot is. You know, but it can be a challenge. So we don't want to be that kind of woman. We don't want to be that kind of woman. We
There's
want
a
to be the
choice.
one, right? Because we're the givers of life. I don't care what you do. If you was born with a uterus and you have the opportunity, you know, you can be the giver of life. And do you realize how
That's
powerful
right.
every human being on the planet had to come through a female portal?
And there are so many ways to give. Yeah, you don't necessarily have to birth a
You
human
don't have to
to be
have
birthing something.
no, you don't.
Absolutely.
You know, so I totally get it. All right. So let's ask a little bit of this or that. French
Let's
fries or
do
onion rings?
it. French fries.
Vanilla or chocolate?
Today it's vanilla.
Tall, dark, and handsome, or thin, shy, and obedient?
Oh. I like the thin, shy part and obedient. I was like, nope, we're going with tall, dark, and handsome.
Yeah. Oh, I'd like it to be obedient.
That the bitchy rebel is
Absolutely.
like, nope, I don't want anyone to be obedient, not even my partner.
All right. Okay. I can appreciate that. If you had a magical wish, what would it be?
Magical.
Anything. It could be for yourself,
Gosh. Oh
anything.
my God, a magical wish. I have so many magical wishes, but I guess my most immediate magical wish is that all humans would be safe in this time, that war would end and we wouldn't even have the concept, and we would all be well fed and safe in our
What
bodies.
that tells me about you is that you didn't say that my cancer be healed. Because in all transparency, that's what I would have said. But there is something in this journey that you are learning, that you are carrying, that you are holding, that is allowing you to live with that and not make that the primary function or purpose of your life. You have bigger aspirations. And I could hear that because that would have been the first thing I would have said.
You never know until you have cancer, but it didn't even occur to me. I mean, I think of this, I just can't imagine how I would have woken up if I hadn't been confronted so extremely with my own mortality. So, I do think of my cancer as a great gift. And I know that's complicated, but that's how I feel. So it's given me so much life, even with all the everything.
You tell the healthcare worker that's burnt out, that's just really ready to just give up. You know, they've worked 36 hours, 3 days in a row. Now they're going home. They got to deal with them bad kids. No food in the refrigerator. You want to get some sleep. And then you have a couple days off to get all the business taken care of, wash the clothes, and then you got to go right back to that again. What do you say to that person?
Start small. Do not get overwhelmed with all the things that you think you want to change, because that is just not how it happens. And when we try to approach change or peace that way, it just falls apart. It's too much for our nervous system. It's just it can't happen that way. But start small with I really think a gratitude practice is like one of the smallest ways to start to incorporate kind of what you were saying, April, around this like seeing others as a gift, like having capacity, having a well, to just start to see what it is that you're grateful for. And then, I mean, I have so many thoughts, but from there, that's what I would start with.
And don't
Start
take yourself so
small.
seriously, brains.
And know that you can say no. You can
Exactly.
say no. You don't have to take the shift. So it's like if you took it, awesome. But don't fool yourself that you have to do things. Like we really are in this, it's like a collective dissociation of the should. Like I should, like I have to do this. No one else will do it. You know, that has been serving administrations in medicine for years, and it doesn't have to be the way that we solve bigger problems by putting ourselves as the only option. But
Okay.
yeah, starting small. And I found also that like if you have a space, a collective space, so that's what Healing Circle is for healthcare workers, and what the bitches is within Circle Alchemy, a collective. It might look like church, it might look like, you know, your yoga center, something, an online whatever somatic group or something that you're doing collectively, so that there's other bodies around you reminding you of your potential and reflecting back that your experience is valid.
And it's a positive disruptor. I was
Yes.
somewhere at a mastermind meeting in this gorgeous penthouse, and I was just sitting there and observing the room, but taking an internal inventory and saying, okay, I'm looking at my life, my goals. My husband's about to retire in a few days. We're about to go on
Congratulations.
this fabulous trip. I've been married 40 years. What
Woo.
other box? Thank you. What other box is there to tick off? And it just came to me. It was like, I've given you all of these things to show you that you need to pour it forward because your cup has runneth over and that overflow needs to go somewhere. So now I'm sitting back thinking about, okay, what can I do to create more space, more capacity for me to do bigger, better, greater things, because I can't complain about anything. And I think that's one hell of a good space to be in.
Yes.
But I do not take it for granted because it can turn in a twinkling of an eye.
Absolutely.
And all I can
Yeah.
do is just look
Gratitude.
back.
Huge
Exactly.
gratitude.
And I am so grateful. I thank God twice a day. Because that's all you have. You're here to teach and to learn.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think the other thing I would say to the healthcare workers is there's a lot of like pushing it within medicine that like all this quote unquote woo-woo stuff that by the way is really well studied and has like scientific evidence to show that it works, that it's not gonna work. Like meditation, like sitting in collective space, like doing a gratitude list. And so if your mindset is that this just isn't gonna work, you know, that is for you. But if you have an inkling of interest, it really is. It's blown my mind. I mean, I'm here today as an example of someone that was my first practice, was just to wake up every day and be like, it's happening again. I'm waking up. I'm grateful. And that these little things are so powerful, and it really is getting to what you're talking about. It's like a, it changes the neural pathways. It changes your
Does.
perspective, and perspective affects your biology. So.
And you know what? And in all transparency, we all are organic and we all have an expiration date. But it depends on how you ripen. Some things ripen to mold, some things ripen to sweeten, some things ripen to replant seeds. So it just depends on, where you are in this process. It is a transition. It is, there's no guarantees. There's no guarantees. You could, have a debilitating disease and die of toe fungus.
Right.
You don't know.
Right. So
You
it's
don't know
like,
what you don't know. Right. So don't overthink it. Just live in the moment. Don't live for tomorrow. Tomorrow's not promised. You can't go back to the past. That's already gone. All you have is the present. You hear that
right.
all the time.
And
So,
yet it's such a challenge for us to be present. So that's part of what this work with Healing Circle and the bitches is just working to be present because we have so much distraction. Like
Oh, my.
nobody who's selling us stuff wants us to be present because we gotta fix the problems that we have. You know,
Exactly.
we gotta listen to their commercials or whatever it is. So, the
And you
act
know,
of being
again,
present,
don't
yeah,
get
so
caught
powerful.
up in social media. Don't get caught up with the politrickians. Don't get caught up with the news. Don't get caught up with the body dysmorphia. Self-medicating. I could go through a laundry list of stuff that you could do. We'll all be caught up in something, okay?
Yes,
But make
right.
sure that your net doesn't have a lot of holes.
Yeah, and
Because
that is a
it's power.
choice. That's where we have agency and power to decide what it is we use our time for. Even if
Absolutely.
you're working within, you know, a job that requires you to work 36 hours, 12-hour shifts, 3 days in a row, and all that there's still time choice. There is. And we've been made to think we don't have that choice. And so that's where this work gets so fun for me, is helping us reframe and see it differently.
Absolutely. Well, you
That's the
have definitely
revolution.
put it on a different lens. I appreciate you, value you, honor you, and send you love and abundant light. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you, how they can work with you, or maybe they can even contact you from another state to get a template on how to create their own healthcare healing circle.
Yes, that is actually a desire we have, is to teach and train folks to do healing circles, because our desire is that all clinics, hospitals would have a space for this work. And something I'll say that I heard someone else say, it's not my words, but I forget the name of the person. I can see their face, just not their name, is we don't need everyone to change structures. We just need some of us. And so don't get overwhelmed by trying to bring everybody in. Start with yourself and go from there. So yeah, you can find me on Facebook or Instagram at circle-alchemy, circle_alchemy. And my name is Anel Taylor. I also have a personal pages. And yeah, reach out to us. We would love to work with more healthcare organizations. And the bitches will be sending out our updates for how to join our circles and stay on
I
fire
think that's
together.
wonderful. Thank you so much for being involved and for, again, expanding your bandwidth, not just to heal yourself, but to put a band-aid on the hurts and the heels of others. Brains, I need you to go in and handle your business, okay? Getting your feelings. Love, like, share, and subscribe. Right here on the edge. Love, like, share, and subscribe. We'll be there for you. All you got to do is reach out and let us know that you need us. We're here because we care. Bye-bye, and now you are the best.
Thank you, April. Bye,
Bye-bye.
brains.
Bye, brain.